Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. I guess good afternoon to those of you living on the East Coast, Eastern Time Zone. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl's in studio with us now. And Ray Rooney has left, and Ray Pritchard is still with us. So I hope you got all that, folks. And Ray is in Kansas City, and we are in Tupelo, MS. Thank you for listening to AFR. Steve, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
That's a great day.
That's a good attitude for a newsman right there.
Thank you.
Because I would expect a newsman to have the attitude of what's going to happen now.
Well, it's going to happen whether I have the attitude or not, so you might as well just enjoy
it, right?
So
it's sort of a Presbyterian view of the world.
Maybe, yes.
Is that right?
I guess so.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's start with just
a... All right, for those Presbyterian people who don't have a sense of humor, don't email me, okay? I was joking. Now, I would say this.
Are you saying there are Presbyterians with a sense of humor?
There are some.
Just kidding. We are just having fun.
You're just having fun, too.
Send your cards and letters,
too. Well, you know, the predestination thing is so easy to have jokes at, right?
Yeah.
So the free will.
Right.
The free will part, of course. I better stop right
there.
You're
just exercising your former
Methodist
free will.
I'm going to stop right there before I start dividing our listenership, because we love all our listeners, regardless of
whether they come to us predestined or whether they choose us on their own.
You're right.
That's exactly right, Steve.
Nicely done.
Take it away, Steve.
This morning, early this morning, Puerto Rico, which is still reeling from the 2017 Hurricane Maria disaster, that just devastated that country, was hit by a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. Took out all the power. It's struggling to get the power back. This is on the heels of yesterday, a 5.something earthquake, 5.8, less than 24 hours after a 5.8 earthquake struck. So widespread blackout, a lot of houses down. So far, only one death that they know of. But the island of Puerto Rico, already reeling from 2017 Hurricane Maria, is having a very difficult time today.
That hurricane, that was that Category 5 that just decimated the whole island? Well, I don't know about the whole island.
No, don't confuse it with the one that got the Bahamas last year.
But 2 years ago, was it Puerto Rico that was slammed so hard?
Was.
That one or two hurricanes.
Right.
But you're right.
Well,
there was. But anyway, okay.
Those people are on our prayers. We have been talking a little bit, Tim, around AFA about this editorial that Mark Galley, the now retired senior editor of Christianity Today, penned right before he left, which said basically Trump is unfit for office and should be removed. And it kind of revealed a little to the world a little bit of a divide within the evangelical community, with some Never Trump leaders calling for, well, being Never Trump, and the majority of rank and file evangelicals and many leaders supporting the president because of what he has done policy-wise. Just this earlier this week, Mark Galley was on an NPR, National Public Radio program.
He's the Christianity Today editor who called for Trump's removal.
Editor-in-chief, former editor-in-chief.
He retired.
He was on the National Public Radio program On Point with host Meghna Chakrabarty. And I want to play you two clips. This first one, Chakrabarty, the host, asks what damage evangelical support has already done. This is Cut 11.
So tell me, what do you think the cost might be, the long-term cost might be, of evangelical support for the president?
The cost that has already taken place, I think the word evangelical, which is a very good word in terms of its richness, its theological richness, and its history. Evangelicals were some of the leading abolitionists. I mean, that's the type of people evangelicalism can produce. But that word is shot now. It is merely a synonym for conservative religious politics, as epitomized by the Friday rally in Miami. Evangelicals for Trump, not evangelicals for Jesus, not evangelicals for the lost, not evangelicals for those caught in sexual slavery, evangelicals for Trump.
There you have it. So, according to Mark Galley, the word evangelical, the concept of evangelical as a witness for Christ is shot, done.
Because
why? Because of what he says is the support.
Was he complaining about Christians for Obama?
I don't know if he was or not. I never heard him complain
don't
about that.
Remember that.
No, I doubt it very seriously. Ray, what do you think about all this? This Christianity Today, a magazine started by Billy Graham, by the way.
Right. Look, at that meeting down in Miami, evangelicals for Trump, I mean, would he object if it was Catholics for Trump or Jews for Trump or Mormons for Trump? I mean, you had some there's an unusual gathering of different people. We had some really good folks down there. Our good friend Robert Jeffress was down there, and Albie King was down there, and Jack Graham was down there, and others we've had here on this program. Mm-hmm. And all they're saying is, as Christians, we want to stand up and support the president in his reelection bid. It seems to me, not just as Christians, but as American citizens, they have every right to do that. And I can't see any damage that meeting did to the, quote, evangelical reputation in the world.
Now, this is all an effort to silence Christians who support President Trump by trying to shame us. By trying to shame us into being silent on politics, to not be engaged, because President Trump says and does some things sometimes that we find insulting or however you want to say it. He doesn't do that as often as he maybe we once did. We all know what behavior that
sure.
we find unbecoming.
Sure.
How about
yeah.
that? Okay, so they want to say what they're trying to do. This is very shrewd. They know that if Trump loses the support of the evangelical Christian community in this mayor, they can beat Trump. And then they can come after us without President Trump or any
right.
In the way, right? I mean, this is what I believe. This is what so how do they do that? It's divide and conquer. So the guys like, you know, this what's his
Mark
name?
Mark Galley.
Galley. He's part of that Never Trump crowd, and it's a holier than thou attitude, which is really, I believe, superficial and phony. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is what I believe about what this guy's doing and the people like him. Russell Moore, Dr. Russell Moore, represents the same type attitude. He's with the Southern Baptist, and I'm a wonderful man, I'm sure, good family man. I'm not saying he's not a Christian, these people, but I'm telling you, this is their objective. They believe in a more social, progressive form of Christianity, and so people like us embarrass them. Their fellow Christians embarrass them, like us, and if you support Trump, then you're there. This guy is trying to make the argument, Walker,
yeah.
that if I support President Trump, I'm the one bringing shame to the gospel because President Trump doesn't always act like a Christian.
Yeah.
I support him. Therefore, you are bringing shame to Christianity. I see what you're doing.
Right.
Right there.
The reality is that President Trump, his policies are more in line with Christian core fundamental beliefs
and the Constitution.
When it comes to economics, when it comes to religious liberty, when it comes
judges,
to our Constitution,
pro-life,
judge, all these different areas that Christians have cared about for decades when it comes to policies and politics,
yes.
President Trump believes in those things. And
oh.
so this idea that somehow Christians, the only thing I can draw the conclusion from Galley, from Mark Galley, is that Christians either need to do one or two things in order to meet his litmus test. They either need to stay at home when it comes November.
And then let the progressives and liberals win.
Yeah, we'll let the pagans pick our political leaders
right.
that we're supposed to submit to according to Romans.
Right.
We'll let the pagans, according to Mark Galley, we should either do one or two things. We should let the pagans pick our leaders
right.
and write our laws that right. Christians are supposed to submit to. Or number two, we should vote for the Democrats.
Right. That's your, choices.
I think that's a false distinction.
In fairness, he would probably say, no, I'm just saying Trump needs to go. I'm fine with Mike Pence becoming president then.
Well, when Mike Pence gets on the ballot, I'll vote for him.
Yeah, but
but right. he's not on the ballot.
Right. But anyway, did you say Dr. Richard Land, our friend, had a response
to this? He did.
Are we going to hear that now?
Yes, Meghna Chakrabarty asked Richard Land, because Richard Land's criticism of this was he pulled up something that Galley had said that characterized Galley as an elitist, because this was Galley's own words. This is cut 12.
Tell us what your primary concern with Mr. Galley's editorial was. I mean, this idea of Christian elitism, what were you trying to get at?
Well, I was quoting him. He described himself as a, quote, elite evangelical. And he said, this class of evangelicals has discovered that we have family members so different, they seem to like aliens in our midst. These other evangelicals often haven't finished college. I have a PhD from Oxford. And they have jobs. And if they have jobs, apparently many of them don't. They're blue-collar jobs or entry-level work. They don't write books or give speeches. They don't attend conferences of evangelicals for social justice or evangelicals for immigration reform. They are deeply suspicious of mainstream media. A lot of them voted for Donald Trump.
I'm using the word elite in two senses. One is factual. Evangelicals are the strongest opponents of Trump and are completely mystified about evangelicals who vote for Trump tend to be leaders of mainstream establishment evangelical organizations, Christianity Today, World Vision, World Relief, InterVarsity Press. The second sense in which I meant to imply is that we are subject to the temptation of elitism. I mean, I grant that.
So, and I thought it was informative because Land was quoting Galley, who said what Christians should be doing is attending conferences on social justice and immigration reform.
That guy right there, the gentleman who's retired now from the Christianity Today, who called for President Trump's removal from office, 83% of Christian evangelicals, or evangelical Christians, however you want to phrase it, voted for President Trump in 2016. It's a very sophisticated group of folks, not all ignorant bumpkins. Okay.
Right.
And they know what's going on here, just like I described it earlier. And when you have a presidential election, it comes down to two people. All right? What's the word? Binary?
It's a binary choice.
Yeah.
It's a binary choice. We don't have the luxury, and I'm thankful for this, of picking between eight people. You do that in your primaries. Well, guess what? I voted for Ted Cruz. When I had a chance to vote in my home state of Mississippi in the Republican primary, I voted for Ted Cruz. Well, he lost, as did all the other Republican candidates. The Republican voters across America chose Donald Trump to be their candidate. So then we're left with, I've been through this before, most people understand this, but for people like Galley who act like, you know, the choices are many. We're left with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Well, my goodness. Donald Trump wants to be our friend. He invites us to New York City,
right.
1,000 Christian leaders to meet with him. Mm-hmm. He gets Mike Pence as his vice president. He gets Mike Pompeo. He gets Ben Carson. He gets Mike Huckabee. He recruits these Christian evangelical leaders that we all trust, and he wants their input. Is he always going to do everything that they want him to do or that we want him to do? Robert Jeffress, no, he's probably not. But guess what he did? He said, I'm going to put conservative pro-life judges up. You can count on me. That's what Donald Trump said. He's fulfilled every one of these promises. He's been a friend of Israel. He's been excellent on so many points. He loves our country. I'm talking about Donald Trump. Does he have boorish behavior every once in a while? Yes, he does. But as Walker said, we're talking about policy and politics and actions and things that he can do to affect our country. We're not talking about a personality.
Right.
Okay? And by the way, his personality is not – every time he does something snide or whatever, the media ramps up their self-indignation, you know, at how could a president act like this.
Right.
Well, guess what? He's not a politician, as Ed says. He's a New York businessman.
Yeah.
Okay. So, given the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, who says, you know what, Wildman, you represent deplorables.
Yeah.
She's not talking to me personally, but that's who she views us as deplorables. These people, if these people like Hillary Clinton, if they ever get ultimate and absolute control, they will try to put us in prison.
Yes.
Huh? They will try to shut down American Family Radio by taking away our radio licenses.
Right.
That's where they want to go. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah.
This is all-out war.
Yes.
So for Mark Galley from the Christianity Today to not at least acknowledge that, that the secular progressives who gained the windfall from taking out Donald Trump and what they want to do to people like us, like Mark Galley, is unbelievable and so naive.
Yeah.
So, now, my point two of my sermon, after I get a deep breath here, but seriously, that's just, good for Richard Land. I'm glad he had a chance to comment on that National Public Radio show. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Real preaching's coming up in 9 minutes with our good
Alistair Begg.
Dr. Alistair Begg. All right, next up, Steve.
Two key moderate Republican senators, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, on Monday backed Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's position that the Senate should follow the precedent from the 1999 Clinton impeachment trial and defer until later the process of calling additional witnesses. So McConnell now has the votes to block to dismiss this quickly.
This is so phony. If this is so urgent and critical to our country, Nancy Pelosi would have sent the articles of impeachment over the night they were passed. She's just trying to hold out for politics.
Yeah. Well,
listen to what...
Is that right, Walker?
Yeah.
Listen to what House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said. This is cut one.
Remember in the House, they had the opportunity to ask any witness they wanted. They did not have the Clinton and Nixon rules. They did not give the minority the opportunity to request witnesses and allow us to bring them forward. Now they want to change the course. It just shows they have nothing on their agenda. She said she would change the agenda in 2020. No, we're right back at impeachment one more time.
Mr. Minority Leader, maybe, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she spent the whole Christmas, New Year's break praying about it.
Pete Hegseth there.
Yeah.
After she, Pelosi said that she prays for President Trump.
evidently God hasn't.
You know, I think Senator, maybe Senator James Lankford, but one of the senators introduced, it wasn't Lankford, it was somebody else. Nonetheless, one of the Republican senators is introducing or has introduced a bill basically to dismiss the impeachment trial. And
Josh Hawley
from Missouri. That's right. That needs to be done like tomorrow because the Senate cannot be held hostage by the House. And what if the Democrats wait until the week of the election to then send the articles of impeachment over? We can't sit around and wait on the Democrats. Either they send the articles of impeachment over or they don't. And if they don't, Senate needs to go ahead and move on.
Yeah. So McConnell needs to say, you know, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I'm just saying, I think he can. Just say, hey, Nancy, either you send those over here by Friday or we're not even going to take them up.
I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing?
Well, McConnell.
In essence.
Hawley wants to dismiss the charges outright. Lindsey Graham and McConnell, I think they just want to hold a vote. We'll have a three-hour debate on this.
We already know how the vote's going to go anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
Republicans are going to vote one way, and the Democrats are going to vote another, with the possible exception of Mitt Romney.
Right.
He's the new John McCain. You know, he's the wild card. You never know how he's going to go because he can't stand President Trump, just like John McCain couldn't. And the feeling was mutual, by the way. All right, next story, Steve.
All right, just two more things I want to bring to you. The fallout from the Soleimani assassination. Do you remember we talked a little bit about the actress Rose McGowan and her tweet where she said, "Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected
your country." Is she an A-lister?
No.
I keep seeing her name listed. I don't know a movie she's been in. What is she?
She was in a TV miniseries.
But she's not a big-time Hollywood actress.
I couldn't tell you what she is acting.
Well, that proves the point.
Anyway, she apologized.
We're talking about her.
Well, go ahead. Today, Michael Moore got into the foreign policy business with a tweet in an emergency contact.
You're talking about baseball cap?
Leftist documentary writer Michael Moore.
Put on whatever clothes you roll out of bed and find.
We're talking about that guy? The very one.
No, he just rolls out of bed in the clothes he slept in.
Yeah, duly noted, Ray. I mean, I'm not GQ here either, but come on, man.
This was his tweet.
Press your shirt and pants once, and then you talk. Go ahead.
This was his tweet. I have just sent the Ayatollah of Iran a personal appeal asking him not to respond to our assassination of his top general with violence of any kind, but rather let me and millions of Americans fix this peacefully. On a podcast, he said, I would like you, the leadership of the country of Iran, not to respond to violence of the United States. I'm asking you to leave this up to me. Give me 10 months and 1 million American voters will remove Trump from the White House.
Look, those mullahs, those religious leaders over in Iran, they're going to chant death to America, whether it's a Democrat in the White House or a Republican in the White House. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So that's,
Well, here's the thing also, and this is a little bit of semantics, which is overrated sometimes, but this was not technically an assassination from a U.S. standpoint. This was a killing of a terrorist leader.
Yes.
Because he's in a war zone. But the second thing is, a Congress back in 1799, so 1800, passed something called the Logan Act.
Yes.
Now, this is not prosecuted very often, but it's still on the books, and it is aimed at preventing this exact thing, rogue diplomacy, where you have unelected American citizens, sometimes powerful people.
And sometimes Michael Moore.
Yeah, and sometimes Michael Moore, trying to negotiate and do backroom deals with foreign governments.
Right.
Well, Kerry was trying to do that.
Yeah, and John Kerry was trying to do that, which is really John Kerry's example is a prime example of what the Logan Act applies to. But it would be interesting if the DOJ just investigated Michael Moore for trying to negotiate with the foreign terrorist government.
Well, yeah, but don't you think he was just being... He was serious probably, but he was being sensational.
Yeah.
Sure. He doesn't have any official power, but... he can sure make it on TV.
But it shows that people like Michael Moore, view the Iranian regime as more
legitimate than President Trump.
And reasonable than our own elected president.
They absolutely do.
I tell you what, you know, for President Trump, to been as battered as he has been the last 3 years from all different directions, just incoming missiles, politically speaking, every single day, to him still be standing and at 50% approval rating or hovering there.
49,
which is probably what Obama was about the same time. President Obama was not a highly popular president in the polls, but he had enough support when the time came to win an election, which Trump is in a good position right now. Hey, Ray, thanks so much, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
Walker?
Good to be on the show.
Appreciate your contribution, Steve.
My privilege.
Thank you. I wish everybody had that attitude, Steve. It's a privilege.
It is.
It's a privilege.
It is.
Brent Creeley ran the controls for us today, and our thanks to the other gentlemen, Frank and Ray, and Ray Rooney and Fred Jackson. Not one woman on the panel.
We're misogynistic now.
But we do have Sandy.
Too bad.
We do have Sandy every Tuesday.
Sandy's on. Yeah.
All right. And we shall see you next time, folks. Have a great day.